Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We're going to be chatting now to Chad Thomas, the CEO at IRS Forensic Investigations and Organized Crime Expert. Very good afternoon, Chad. How are you?
I'm good, and you, Gary?
I am very well, thank you. Good to be talking to you, Chad. So, Chad, today's topic is the Zama Zama illegal mining trade. And firstly, can you define and tell us what this actually is?
So I noticed that there seems to be a bit of confusion with the media at the moment, and some of them are calling the Zama Zamas artisanal miners. I think there is nothing familiar with the term artisanal miner compared to a Zama Zama. Artisanal miners are normally small industry miners. They're small players, but they're legal miners. They're registered with the Department of Minerals and Energy Resources, and they're entitled to mine a specific piece of land for a specific product. Whereas Zama Zamas are illegal miners that are working on either abandoned mines or they are digging into mine shafts via informal settlements and via other areas. We saw in Primrose, for example, when the Hart mine was still in operation, there was informal settlements across the road from the mine's main shaft and main entrance. The Zama Zamas were able to mine in the informal settlement all the way down and break through into the shaft and start illegally obtaining concentrate, which they then refine into gold and they sell on the black market.
Chad, I mean, how big actually is this industry?
It's huge. I would say it's a billion rand industry, if not more. We've seen multiple cases in recent years of the end recipients of the product who are introducing it into the mainstream gold market being prosecuted, and they've been prosecuted for VAT issues. They've been prosecuted for other SARS-related matters. And that gave us a glimpse just as into how big this industry was. So if I could have a minute, I'll describe to you what these guys were doing. They would purchase the product from these Zama Zamas, and they would then introduce it by claiming it was melted down jewelry. So you saw a lot of signs springing up in and around Johannesburg, the West Rand, the East Rand, along the main reef belt of gold, where they'd say, sell your unwanted gold here, we buy gold, etc. And what they would then say is people have brought in broken jewelry, inherited jewelry, unwanted jewelry, and we've now melted it down and introduced it into the market. Whereas in fact, they were actually laundering the illicit product and introducing it into the proper market.
Wow. Chad, I mean, what processes protect the legitimacy? I mean, how can one then obviously introduce a process that says this is legit?
Well, in South Africa, our mining resources have been precious commodities to us, and our government introduced very strict legislation, and our policing service always had a gold and diamond branch, which was out there to enforce that legislation.
And I mean,
politically under the, sorry?
No, sorry, Chad, we lost you for a sec.
So unfortunately, under the leadership of Jackie Salebi, when he was Commissioner of Police, he disbanded all these specialized units. So you don't have specialized units working projects any longer on the illicit gold and diamond industry.
Chad, obviously a lot of these illegal miners are, they shouldn't be in the country. So, I mean, what is the recourse for these miners when they get caught? What actually happens to them?
They'll get deported. They'll come back. They'll come back either illegally or using another person's passport. And one must remember that a lot of miners in South Africa in respect of the bygone era were migrant laborers, not just from the apartheid homelands, but also from neighboring countries. So Lesotho provided us with a lot of labor. Mozambique provided us with labor. Zimbabwe provided us with labor. And a lot of these people are the ones that understand mining, understand how to refine the concentrate and how to extract the gold. And that's why we've seen so many foreigners involved in this particular illicit organized crime.
I mean, Chad, you touched on it earlier, I mean, regarding who they sell to. But I mean, how do they know who to sell to? I mean, how do they market it as such? I mean, locally and obviously abroad.
Well, bizarrely enough, Radovan Kretcher, everybody's favorite gangster that they like to speak about from Bedford View, who's now serving a sentence for kidnapping and attempted murder. He bought a refinery in Randfontein, and this refinery was only servicing the illicit gold mining industry. It is such a prolific crime on the main reef that it's just, I don't know whether it's reached a point now that the police are lacking in the resources. We saw on Carte Blanche a couple of weeks ago how security companies were actually leading the intelligence driven investigations, and the police were there, but more in the support capacity. It's unbelievable to see that security companies are now taking the lead, and that the policing of this precious resource to our country is being policed by the private sector. It's absolutely bizarre.
This is crazy. And I mean, it's also obviously having such an impact on the legal mining trade. And, I mean, I can imagine now the crossover between illegal and legal mining trade. And, Chad, what's the way forward with this?
Well, there's stories where legal miners in a shaft have broken through only to discover that there's people in the very same shaft mining illegally that have come through another route. There's also literal gang wars taking place underground between rival Zamazamas. The only way forward at this point in time is to further capacitate the private security industry. Grant certain private security companies that meet all the requirements, peace officer status, so that they can do the necessary arrests and also investigate. Because as we stand right now, the only line that we have between ourselves and anarchy is private security. There are more private security officers in South Africa than the police and army combined. And I think that government is beginning to realize that they need to partner with these security companies, not just as force multipliers, but as people that can actually be on the ground and assist, if not take the lead in enforcing legislation.
Chad, thank you so much for that. And yeah, I just hope that obviously our private policing can obviously have some impact on this and actually curb this. And Chad Thomas, CEO at IRS Forensic Investigations and Organized Crime Expert. Chad, thank you so much. Have a good evening.